Amen. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Jude. It's only one chapter. We'll be reading verses 17 through 25. Jude, if you go to the book of Revelation, right before that, you'll find the book of Jude. Jude, will be reading verses 17 through 25 responsively. I'll start on verse 17. You'll join me on verse 18, all the way through verse number 25. Just before the book of Revelation, Jude. Verse number 17, the Bible says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which are spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto them that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." And join me on verse 25. "To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen." Choir, you may make your way forward. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you so much. As we sang this morning about salvation, about heaven, how much I was reminded, Lord, how much you've done for us. Lord, thank you for salvation. Lord, thank you for your mercy and your forgiveness to us. Lord, thank you for a home in heaven, Lord. You've done so much for us. And Lord, while we live on this earth, Lord, may we do just a little bit, Lord, to show you our love for you. Lord, be with the message this morning. Lord, please speak to our hearts. Use our preacher, fill him with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches. Lord, we yield ourselves to you as we listen. We love and we thank you. Amen. And you may be seated.
Hi. If you'll listen to me today, I want to help you. I struggled a little bit even preaching this sermon, but I know it's what we need and it's the time in which we need it. The first couple moments you might think something's changed in me. It's not. I'm not going to end up in the direction I start, but I need to start with a few statements. Our world is getting more and more godless. We're just about to the place where godlessness rules the world totally. I am not a fatalist. I still believe there's hope. But at times it feels like we're fighting a battle we're not going to win. Can I tell you something? I read the last chapter. We win. But it seems like in this generation, there are more who stand against God than stand for God. And I realize, though we're the winners, sometimes it doesn't appear that way. God told us it would get this way. Let me read some verses to you out of 2 Timothy 3. You need not turn there. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those things that are good, traitors," like Congress, "heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." God told us it would get this way. God said, in the last days, these perilous times shall come. Now, let me say right here, we're in those last days.
Yes, sir.
We are closer to the coming of our Savior than we've ever been. I'm not reading the signs of the times. Say, how do you know that, preacher? Because we've never, each day is one day closer to the rapture.
That's right.
And I know each day is one day closer, but I'm here to tell you, our world is poised for the Lord to come back.
Amen.
You don't have to worry about how things are going in China. I can already tell you, I read the last chapter. China and India and Russia will join forces. They will be the army from the east without number. Everybody doing okay? They're going to join with Russia. The country to watch right now is the country of Turkey. Turkey is the last player before the Lord comes back. And look what's been in the news in the last 2 weeks. By the way, thank God for a president that understands what's going on. Well, I don't think he should have pulled his troops from Syria. He pulled 50 soldiers. All this hullabaloo is about 50 soldiers. Don't believe what the press and Nancy Pelosi says. We are not supposed to be the police of the world. Everybody doing okay?
Right.
Tell Mitt Romney to crawl back to Hades where he came from.
Right.
Needs to shut his fat mouth and study the Bible, not the Book of Moron.
That's right.
I don't just want to live my life and die and not have anything to show for my life. You can say that's vain. You can call it what you want. But I decided a long time ago, I don't want to just live and die, and then it's over. I decided a long time ago that I wanted my life to be lived for something.
Right.
I'd like that one day, if I live long enough to die, or they kill me first, but if I live and die, that my life will have mattered more than just to my wife, my children, my parents, my family. You can say what you want, but I decided about 39 years ago that I wanted my life to matter for eternity, not just here.
Mm-hmm.
There is a life after you die.
Yes, sir.
And I decided that as a young man, as a teenage boy, I wanted my life to matter for more than just 60, 70, 80 years here on earth. I'd like it to last for about 100 million years, and then it's just getting started. Just getting started. Let me ask you a question. Do you want your life to make a difference? Do you want your life to make a difference? I'm not talking about putting your name on a building. I'm not talking about a storehouse full of money and wealth at the end of your life that you don't take with you. I mean, do you really want your life to matter? Would you like it to last longer than your life? Would you like the influence of your life to last for generations and millenniums to come? Do you want your life to make a difference in eternity? I'll be honest with you. Brother Mike, I get weary of going to funerals. Not because they're just not enjoyable, but each time I go to one, and the older I get, the more I realize I'm closer to being there. And I wonder if I've done enough to make an impact on somebody's life. I'm not talking about fame. I'm talking about, do you want to make a difference? God tells us here in the book of Jude, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Do you want to make a difference?
Yes.
Thank God, God doesn't just say you can. He gives us an outline by which we can make a difference. Let me say right here, God's ways of measuring being a difference maker is much different than man's way. God's way of measuring making a difference is much larger and much different than what the world would say. Please don't take this wrongly. Wealthy people die just like poor people do. Famous and powerful people die just like infamous, no names, and homeless people die. I think it's almost criminal that we drop the flag for an Elijah Cummings. I've done it to be an obedient patriarch of our country, but I did it with rebellion in my heart, just so you know. A man who would rather have socialism than capitalism. A traitor to the United States of America. The very person that was fighting your president over... Go to downtown Baltimore and find out what the condition of the country's like since he's been there. Did you know that he made a difference? But not in a positive direction. They may never lower the flag when I die, but when I die, I hope I've made a difference. Yes. Matter of fact, my enemies will wave their flags. But I know this, mine won't be a white flag. I'm not going down surrendering. I want to make a difference in people's lives now. I want to make a difference in generations to come. God gives us a neat little outline here in the book of Jude to show us how we can make a difference with our life that will last for eternity. Let me show you what it is. Number one, verse number 20 says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." God says to be a difference maker, you have to build yourself up on your most holy faith. That means this. Are you excited about being saved? Do you love the fact that you're saved? Are you excited about the fact that your name's written in heaven?
Amen.
That your sins have been not only washed away, but they've been blotted out of heaven? Folks, did you realize one of the greatest things about going to heaven is not only that you get to go there, but none of your sin will ever be remembered? Miss Arlene and I were talking about that yesterday after the service. Brother Mike, your brother didn't live the best Christian life. But guess what? When he got there, he doesn't remember what he did wrong down here.
Amen.
None of it's going to be held against him either. Some of you say, well, I can't wait to get to heaven and I'm going to remind so-and-so. If you get to heaven, guess what? You won't remember that so-and-so did it. One of the greatest things about heaven is your sin, my sin, everybody else's sin will never be remembered.
Amen.
Gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone.
Right.
Can I tell you something? I was not a 27-year-old commode-hugging drunk like Brother Mike when he got saved. I was 4.5 years old, going to Sunday school, pulling the girls' pigtails in Sunday school class. I may have been a sinner just like him, but guess what? His are just as much washed away as mine are.
Amen.
And if you're saved, your sins are just as washed away as mine are.
Yes, amen.
We have a lady here today, came in, and she got saved on the way to church today. Guess what? Her sins are washed away just like mine are.
Amen.
She's as clean and pure and bright in God's eyes as I am.
Amen.
Whew, that's enough to make you want to get shouting, amen? Can I tell you something? I hope I never get over being saved. I hope I never get over being saved. Can I tell you something? I think we ought to look forward to heaven.
Yes.
I'm going to say something here. Do you build yourself up with it?
Well, it's just getting so bad around here.
What are you doing looking around here for? Every time you start mully grubbing and talking about how bad things are around you, you're just letting everybody know you're looking around you and not looking up. I'm sorry. Yes, I know it's bad. Yes, I know the news is negative and critical and you can't believe any of it, including Fox. I get that. But may I say this, I'm not worried about the news. I'm headed to heaven.
Amen.
Brother Larry, bless God, I'm not going to have to listen to CNN up there.
Amen.
I'm not going to have to listen to ABC, CBS, or any of the other sewer lines. I get to go to heaven, and the only news reported is going to be by Jesus himself.
Amen.
Guess what? There won't be any negative reporters up there. They're not even going to be predicting the weather because it's going to be perfect. Lion Lou won't be there. No. You see, we're supposed to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. The most holy thing you have is your salvation.
Amen.
Let me ask you, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven someday?
Amen.
If you have never trusted Jesus, not your good works, not your religion, not your righteousness, but you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Once you do that, can I tell you something? Everything else is all up from there.
Right.
And it's way up there. It's called heaven. See, one day Jesus is coming back for us.
Right.
And those that have been saved, the Bible says that we'll meet him in the air in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Say, well, preacher, I've read the book of Revelation. Good. Glad you read it. Guess what? We're on top side looking down.
Amen.
We're having the marriage feast of the Lamb, not knowing what's going on down here.
Amen.
Only at one point in time will we know what's happening. And that's when one vial is open and said there's going to be a silence in heaven and earth for 30 minutes. That's a miracle. No talking. You see, at the end, when Jesus comes back, the Bible says that the Antichrist will take over. When the Antichrist takes over, there'll be a one world government. The Antichrist will lead it. There'll be a one world economy. You say, well, is it going to be the European Euro? No, it's going to be a global economy. But there's only one way a global economy can be set up. And that is global bankruptcy. And as the Chinese government has so done, they have built the world up to the point where we are poised for global bankruptcy. It's not the U.S. economy, though we are over $30 trillion in debt. Can I tell you what will happen? Just prior to the Lord's coming back, when all the Christians are taken out of this life, well, guess what? I happen to know a $620,000 mortgage here at the church that isn't going to get paid.
Right.
Happen to know some houses that aren't going to get paid for. Some cars aren't going to get paid for. You multiply that by millions of people all over this world, and guess what's going to happen to the economy? It's going to go real quick. The Antichrist will come on the scene and say, we've gotten rid of all the evil people, now let me help you. We're going to pull everybody together, and we're going to make a universal global economy. By the way, that's why these Democrats and these socialists and these liberals are out there talking about a global economy. They're antichrists. We are getting the world conditioned. We are propagandizing our children in the schools, talking about we have to save the world. We live in a global society. That is Antichrist doctrine. Everybody doing okay? Say, well, preacher, how do you survive? How do you make a difference in this world? Brother Juan, there's a place that is fairer than day. By faith, I can see it afar. Guess what it's called? It's a place called heaven.
Amen.
In that place, there'll be no pain. When it's raining outside, my hip isn't going to feel like somebody's got a butcher knife stuck in it, twisting it. There's no more sorrow. You're not going to have any grief. There's going to be no death. There's going to be no sickness. There'll be no hospitals in heaven. Thank God. There's going to be no antiseptic smell in heaven. Praise the Lord. There's not going to be any surgical rooms in heaven. There's not going to be any recovery rooms in heaven. There's going to be no anesthetic in heaven. There's not going to be any of that. There's going to be no burn ward. There'll be no oncology unit. There'll be no chemotherapy. There'll be no dementia. There'll be no Alzheimer's. And if there was, you wouldn't remember anyway. Can I tell you something? There's going to be no arthritis in heaven. Praise the Lord. There's going to be no psychological disorders. That means Marshall will be normal. I mean, there'll be there'll be no drugs in heaven. You say why? Because there'll be no sin there. Sin causes all that down here. Sin causes death. Sin causes sickness. There's going to be no old people in heaven. There'll be no aging. Your body will be perfect. It won't hurt. It will always work, and it'll be able to perform from day one, clear through eternity, like it should be, the way God made us in the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
Whew. Can you imagine how good that's going to be? Fellas, we can eat and not get fat.
Amen.
Glory to God. Good night. God starts us off in heaven with a 7-year party called the Marriage Feast of the Lamb. We get to eat for 7 years, and we will eat pork. Amen. All right. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Bacon and eggs. Yes. Pork chops. Fat back. And beans. Amen. Bam, throw that stuff in there. No clogged arteries, Brother Harry. Glory. Can I tell you something? How do you make a difference in this world? Build yourself up on your most holy faith.
That's right.
I stopped at Sheets about 5 o'clock this morning. I walked in and there was a couple workers there. There was one other person in the store. And he looked like somebody killed his mother. I mean, just he didn't want anybody talking to him. I walked in there, grabbed something real quick, and walked up to the cash register. And there's a little girl about that tall. She was shorter than Dee. That's saying something. I looked at her and I said, "Good morning, how are you?" She said, "Wow." I said, "Wow, what?" She said, "You're dressed up and you're happy." I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." She said, "Where are you going?" I said, "To church." She said, "At this hour?" I said, "I'm the pastor." She said, "Really?" I said, "Really?" She said, "Where do you pastor?" I said, "Just down the street," and I gave her a track. She said, "Is everybody in your church as happy as you?" I said, "They're not quite that crazy, but close." She said, "I'm going to have to come to your church if it's happy. I've been to churches, it's not real happy." I said, "Don't blame me for where you went to church." The other guy that worked there all night has been there before. He's known me. He said, "He comes in at this hour and he's always the same." I said, "Yes, I am." They said, "How could you be happy at 5 o'clock in the morning?" I said, "If you knew your sins were forgiven on your way to heaven and you knew that you're going there someday, you could be happy too." So if you just read that thing, it'll show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. She said, "Huh, I'll do that after a while." I said, "Yeah, you will."
Amen.
Old grumpy face was coming up to the counter at that point in time. He didn't care what I said. Can I tell you something? He's probably on his way to hell, poor guy. I'd be grumpy too if I knew I was going to die and go to hell. Guess what? I don't have anything to be grumpy about.
Amen.
So God wants us to realize that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open shore. And guess what? I don't feel at home in this world anymore. Hey, we're getting closer. We're getting closer. So how do you make a difference in life? I'll promise you one thing. Realize, number one, you're on your way to heaven. Your sins are forgiven and you're saved.
Amen.
You don't have to cowtail to the lost world.
Right.
They ought to cowtail to us. They ought to be worried, not us.
Amen.
Number two, the Bible says in verse number 20, praying in the Holy Ghost. That means this. We are to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. When I got up at 4:30 this morning, Brother Mike, I jumped out of bed, and when I landed, I went, I said, it's raining. I can feel it right there. I didn't get out saying, well, praise the Lord, I get to go to church. Now, I'd been awake for about a half hour, but I didn't realize how bad I was hurting until I put all the weight down on it. Mm-hmm. But wait a minute. I said, Holy Spirit, I need you today. Amen. Hundreds of times this morning, Holy Spirit, would you help us? I came in here, it was still dark, it was 5:15. I came in and turned a couple lights on, and I stopped at every row and prayed for every person that would be on those rows this morning. I said, Holy Spirit, would you meet the needs today and do what I cannot do? I went into the nursery and asked God to take care of those babies of the adults that would be in here today, and asked God to save them early in life so they would get saved when they were just young children. I stopped at Brother Josh's Sunday school room and prayed for our teenagers. Went into Mrs. Lopez's room and Brother Barnes's room. Stood there in the junior church room and prayed for junior church. And went into my wife's classroom and prayed for those 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. I asked God to get in on this thing. I asked God that the Holy Spirit would empower every word said. Walked out in the rain this morning. Asked God to help Brother Juan and Brother Wiley as they parked cars and the greeters, and went over and prayed by the bus. Brother Mike. Say why? I wanted the Holy Spirit in on this. Doesn't do any good if I do it in flesh. You see, the Holy Spirit's there to guide us. If you will yield to the Holy Spirit, He will guide you. Now, I'm going to say something here. He doesn't guide you like the healers, feelers, and squealers tell you.
Right.
You don't get this feeling and say, well, I feel led by the Holy Ghost. You had a feeling, but it wasn't the Holy Ghost. You may have had bad pizza before bed last night, or you ate too many tacos, or you had too much grease, but it wasn't the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost guides you through that book right there.
Amen.
So, well, I feel the Lord wants me to do. I'll say this. Book, chapter, and verse. Show me where He told you.
Yep.
Well, I have this feeling, preacher. Then it's not the Holy Ghost. That's you. That's something else, but it's not the Holy Spirit. Everybody doing okay? The Holy Spirit does not guide you outside of the Word of God.
Right.
He can't lead you outside of the Word of God.
Right.
Your feelings are just that. Feelings. That's sensual. That's fleshly. That's your body. That's your desires. Everybody doing okay? He doesn't lead you by events that take place. I felt a cold chill, so it must have been my great-grandfather that passed away that came back and was talking to me. No, that's demonology. People don't come back and talk to you from the dead, just so you know.
Right.
You've been watching too much TV. Never took place. Once you're in heaven, guess what? And I hate to even say this because I've even preached this wrong. I don't believe you lean over heaven and watch what takes place here, because when you're in heaven, you can't look on sin. You have no memory of what's going on here. If you have lost loved ones who have died and gone to hell, I hate to tell you this, but when you get to heaven, you're not going to be grieved in eternity over the fact that they're burning in hell, because you won't even remember who they were. God will wipe that memory away so that you don't grieve for eternity. Well, I had a vision. No, you watch too much TV. You listen to Joel Osteen too much. The Holy Spirit's there to guide you through the Word of God. He will speak to you through the Word of God. He does not speak to you in this, I feel led. Key word there, feel. That's you. He will comfort you. Can I tell you how he's going to comfort you? With the word of God and the principles of the word of God. He'll guide you. Can I tell you how he'll guide you? He'll guide you with the word of God. He will guide us as God wants, not as we our sinful flesh wants. Did you know sometimes the Holy Spirit tells me to do things I don't want to do? Brother Jimbo, I don't always feel like being nice to people. But my Bible says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Brother Juan, sometimes that really stinks. You ought to have somebody stabbed you in the back and you meet them on the road and you got to be nice to them. And then they try to run you over with their car. I was just trying to be nice. I've literally jumped out of the way. Or you see them in the grocery store and they go, and leave their groceries in the middle of the aisle and turn around and walk out. And you have an older lady that looks at you and says, you must have really done something. I said, well, I took a shower, and she starts laughing. She said, sounds like they have the problem, not you. I said, yes, ma'am. It's their problem. I feel sorry for them. Say, doesn't that hurt your feelings? I have feelings too, but guess what? I feel sorry for them. Everybody doing all right? I don't always feel like being nice. But guess what? It doesn't matter how I feel. You think I always like getting bad news? There is not a 7-day period go by where I don't get news of either somebody dying or dead. In the last 7 days, I got word of 3 people with cancer, 2 marriages breaking up, 1 family where the mom forsook her own children and left them with somebody. And I'm not talking about something that happened years ago, just this week. Don't you think I get a little tired of bad news? Guess what? Doesn't matter. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Doesn't matter how I feel. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
And it's amazing how the Holy Spirit jumps in and gives you the strength to bear it. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Number 3, I've got to hurry. Verse number 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. The word keep there means guard from loss. Keep from injury, to stand watch, or to keep your eyes upon. Brother Josh, can I have you stand here for a second? Here. The Bible says that I am to keep myself in the love of God. I'm to keep myself from injuring, and I'm to guard. If he is the enemy trying to get to me, I'm supposed to put up a guard to where he can't get to me. Can I tell you something? The devil's going to try to destroy your love for God. The devil's going to come to you and tell you, Brother Mike, your brother died. God's not fair. That's the devil. That's not God. Anybody tells you that, they're satanic. Everybody doing okay? You can have a seat. Say why? Because they're trying to tear down your love for God. Some of you have been poisoned by people to believe that, well, God's not fair. God is just. God didn't sin. We did. Our loved ones did. My aunt and uncle were here for a couple days, and memories about my grandmother, and she brought some picture books and things from, and I haven't had a chance to go through them yet, but my mom and my aunt did. They laughed, they cried, they laughed, they cried, those kind of things. Can I tell you something? My grandmother lived to be 99. I don't have anything to worry about. My grandfather lived till he was 77 and died of a second heart attack. You say, well, God wasn't fair. God may not be fair, but God didn't sin, man did. Grandma didn't get old because of God. Grandma got old because she was a sinner like you and me. Can I tell you something? You say, well, I just don't understand God. Good. That means you're not God. We're happy to. Just so you know. We are to guard ourselves in the love of God. We are to guard the love of God. We're to stand watch. We are to actually keep people from destroying the love we have for God. Guess what? That means you daily need to be in His Word. Did you know if you'll think about the things of God when somebody challenges that, you will guard yourself from it? Let me ask you a question. Do you take time every day to think about how much God loves you? If you took time to think today about how much God loves you, maybe you wouldn't be so bitter with Him about something that's happened in the past. You will do this by walking with God daily. Did you know God made you to spend time with Him? Well, I read my Bible. I didn't get anything out of it. You got a cleaner basket, that's for sure. The more in love with God you are, the better you will express your love with others. I love my precious wife. Been in love with her, been married to her 30 and a half years, been in love with her for 32 years. Can I tell you something? Thank God we don't fuss with each other. We don't argue. In 30 and a half years, have never raised our voices at each other. Have we disagreed? Every day. Just because you disagree with somebody doesn't mean that you have to fight with them. She likes her steaks medium well. I like mine rare. A little cold quivering in the middle is okay with me. Knock it in the head and run it over a candle a couple times, and that's good enough. Now, wait a minute, we disagree with certain things, but guess what? We don't fight over it. If she's making steak in the house, she says, check yours and take it off when you're ready. I said, well, is it dark? Yeah, take it out. Now, hers, she's got to cook it till it. About the consistency of my boot, man. That's fine. She likes it that way. I'm not going to criticize. I just don't want to chew on it and 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 chew on it. Wait a minute. If her and I had a fuss just before church, I don't think my attitude would be as good as it is right now. Some of you that fussed with each other before you came through the church doors, we can see it on your face too. Now watch this. The more in love I am with her, it's because I'm more in love with Him. And the more I love you, it's because I've spent time with Him to be able to love you. Some of you haven't spent time with Him to be able to love. You say, well, I'm all loved out. I just can't take it. That means you're not spending enough time with Him. Everybody doing all right? Number four, I've got to hurry. All of these things put together, verse 22, give you the compassion to make a difference. And of some have compassion making a difference. Did you know people need God's love in their life? Did you know that this old sinful world needs God's love in their life? There are some people that you are going to reach with your love and with your compassion. I promise you. I hesitate, but I'll do this. Mrs. Deaner, your grandson. Your grandson and granddaughter. They lost their baby several months ago. Drove down to D.C. area to be with them. Michael and I drove after church on a Sunday night, drove down there, stood in the parking garage. Hot. I mean hot. And I looked at him with a tear in my eye. Told them that I loved them. Didn't know them, but that I loved them. Talked to them for a while. And I said, wouldn't you like to see your baby again someday? They said, we sure would. I said, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Neither one of them said that they knew. I reached in my pocket. I opened up that very New Testament and showed them how they could know for sure they're going to heaven. In about 5 minutes, both of them out loud prayed and trusted Christ as their Savior, tears dripping down their eyes. And they knew they were going to see their baby again someday. I don't understand why the baby went to heaven. God never asked me to understand. He asked me to trust. But I watched your grandson. He said, you're different. You care. First words. He said, you're different. You care. I said, oh, I've been told I'm different, but not just because of that. Some you win with compassion. Somebody's going to need God's love in their life. Are you going to be there to give it to them? That person that you work with who loses somebody, are you going to take the opportunity to win them to Christ? Or are you going to say, well, good for them. Glad they're hurting as bad as they hurt somebody else. Well, that's a real spiritual way to be. You know, most people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. My preacher taught me a long time ago, you can preach as hard as the depth of your love. That's why most preachers can't preach deep, because they don't have any love. They're as shallow as a mud puddle. And just about as clear. Say why? Because they have no depth of love underneath it to where people really believe what they're saying. I asked God this morning over and over, God, would you love your people through me? Could I just be a conduit, a pipe? Would you speak through my mouth with your love so that they know how much you love them? That's what I want. By the way, God's love requires action. Did you know that God's love requires action? Romans 5:8, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave. Right. He loved by giving. He didn't love by feeling. Right. And you do not love because you feel it. You love because you do something about it. God's love requires action. By the way, I can tell my wife I love her, but if I do not show the actions of it, she will not know. Just because you say it does not mean it's so. God's love is based on him and not the object that he is loving. Did you know God loves those who hate him? God loves those who worship false gods. God loves every person that has blasphemed him. God gave Jesus Christ for all of them, and if they'll trust Jesus as their Savior, he'll take them in and say, I love you. You know, there's something about this thing of loving people whether they love you or not. Say, well, I couldn't love somebody that doesn't love me. Yes, you could. Anybody in here that's ever had a baby has loved something that did not love them back. When that thing is hatched, it doesn't know how to do nothing but squawk, eat, and exhaust. Did I say that appropriately enough? Somebody say amen. You can say, well, it's so precious. It's loving me. It does not know how to love. A total stranger could pick it up and feed it and take care of it, and it does not yet know how to love. It cannot give back. It can only receive. Don't tell me you couldn't love an enemy. Don't tell me you can't love somebody who does not love you back. Yes, you can. You already have. You see, that's the kind of love that makes a difference. Loving someone who cannot love you back or will not love you back is love that makes a difference. Some of these young people that come on our bus, some of them have good homes. I think of Daisy down here, and her mom and dad are super people, precious people. And you ought to thank God for that. But there's some that come in on that bus that it's not that way. And the only love they get is here at Grace Baptist Church and the people here. Sometimes the only happy birthday they get is from the people in this church, not even their own parents. Maybe you ought to think about that sometime. Before you get upset, they haven't been trained like you have. Give them time. They got a preacher here that loves them no matter what, just so you know. You see, real love that makes a difference is based on truth, not on feeling. Real love is based on a truth and a principle of the Word of God and the actions of it, not just because you feel all warm and squishy inside. Are you doing okay? Number five, and I've got to hurry and I'll quickly run through this. Some will need the fear put into them in order to get close to God. Sometimes you love with fear. Look at verse number 23. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. We live in a very calloused world. We live in a very hardened world. We hear and see and experience way too much violence in our society today. There are things reported on the news that would have been never shown in public 50 years ago. Some of you play video games that are nothing but violence that should not be watched, and you wonder why you're calloused. Everybody understand? I don't believe in video games that kill people. And honestly, anything that kills... My son and I were talking this week. We had a video game. All right, this is, good Lord, 15 years ago or so. One of those ones that you could hunt animals. It'd take you a half hour to find one. You know, you had to do all the tracking and everything else. And there was no blood. There was no gore. You never saw anything. They thought that was the greatest thing since bubblegum because you were listening to the speakers to figure out which side it was coming from. I was teaching them to be hunters, but may I say this, I enjoy hunting, but the day that hunting and killing an animal does not affect me is the day I put my weapons away and I'll never pull a trigger again, because then I become a killer. If you can just pull the trigger and you feel nothing, I'd worry about yourself. Just so you know. I remember the day he killed his first deer, I made him stand over it and look at it. It was bigger than him, 10 years old. And I said, when you pulled the trigger, what happened? He said, Dad, it died. I said, what happens when you point the gun at somebody else? You can never get that bullet back. Don't you ever forget that. That's why you've got to know where your brother's at and your grandfather's at and where I'm at on this field. And that's why you don't point at a house. And that's why you know before you pull that trigger, because the moment you pull it, you can't get it back. He watched that deer take its last breath, and I said, you took its breath. You took its life. Don't you ever forget that. It's a little sobering, just so you know. I didn't teach my boys to be killers. I taught them how to hunt. It ought to move you a little bit. And the day it doesn't move me, I quit doing it, just so you know. We live in a society that is around violence so much that we are accustomed to violence. I don't listen to much news because I'm tired of the first 10 minutes of news talking about how many people have been shot, murdered, and stabbed, and raped, and violated, and accused, and this, that, and the other. Hey, we listen to it way too much. By the way, the religion has taken the blood in hell out of life.
We don't want to hear about hell, and we don't want to hear about the blood. It's just too gory.
Preachers have quit preaching on sin. Can I tell you something? If you die without Jesus, you're going to die and go to hell.
That's right.
I didn't say it, God did, and I'm not going to quit preaching it because we've got a sissy society.
Amen.
We're going to preach about sin, whether it's your sin, my sin, or somebody else's sin, and we're not just going to call it sin, we're going to call it by name.
Right.
Shacking up, still shacking up, and it's still wrong.
Amen.
Smoking and drinking, still wrong.
Right.
Sleeping around and whoring around is still wrong. Everybody right. Doing okay? I'm not afraid of it. That's what God said, not me. Can I tell you something? Everybody wants to go to church where we don't talk about sin. Let's just do the best we can. Well, look what our society has done. It's not real good. Now the churches are more worldly than the world was 50 years ago. The average church is worse than the nightclubs were 50 years ago. We've replaced soul winning with what they call confrontational evangelism with taking a survey. We'll not go soul winning. That's confrontational evangelism. So what we'll do is we'll give everybody a survey card and we'll send people out and ask 20 questions and bring those cards back to the church so somebody sitting in an office can play God and decide who is going to get saved and who's not. Folks, that's wicked as the devil. If you and I are going to go out and knock on a door, I'm going to ask them one question, maybe two. Do you all get to go to church somewhere regular? Glad that you do. Glad that you don't. I've got one for you. Here's my next question. Do you know for sure if you died today, you're 100% sure you'd go to heaven? I don't think you should ask that question. That's too private. Well, bless God, it may be a private question, but when you wake up in hell, you'd wish somebody would have asked you. I don't shy away from it. Say, why? Because I believe in a heaven and I believe in a hell. God said it's my job to take the gospel to every creature. He didn't say take a survey. He said take the gospel. He didn't say ask a bunch of questions. He said take the gospel. Everybody doing okay? Religion has taken that away from us.
Right.
Sometimes you're going to have to scare them. I'll promise you that this church is a place of real love and real friendliness. And I'll tell you why. Because we believe in a real hell.
Right.
My uncle sat back there. My uncle's not known as a church-going man. He worked real hard not to cuss while he was here. I'm not kidding. He does it just because it's part of his language. Wednesday night after church, went back and I shook his hand. He grabbed my hand. And I'm not known as the favorite nephew in the family. Hard to believe. But he said, Greg, that was good. I said, well, thank you. And he grabbed my hand, Brother Mike, and wouldn't let go. And he said, no, that was really good. I was dumbfounded. Brother Mike, the next words, I got weak knees. He said, if I'd had a preacher like you, I may have gone to church more. He went back to Mom and Dad's house, and he couldn't believe how friendly our church was. And this is what they said. They were friendly to us before they found out we were related to the preacher. They couldn't get over it. By the way, they're both saved. They've heard me preach funerals, but they were blown away. They couldn't believe that as hard as I preach, people around me knew how to love. Guess what? They do, because that's the result of preaching hard. Brother Fred's not here, but I'd say it if he was. I worked a year and a half to get Fred saved. Fred almost died three times. Fred was hours from death. I was trying to save Fred with fear. I said, Fred, if you die right now, you're going to bust hell wide open and fry for eternity. I literally said those very words. He said, I'm just not ready yet. I said, when in the world are you going to be ready? He said, I don't know. You talk about hard. He was hard to the gospel. But after we got him out of that bout, I was sitting in the living room with him. My wife and Wally were sitting over in the dining room at the table praying. And I said, Fred, you've got to get this thing nailed down. I said, what's stopping you? He said, I don't know. I said, then if you don't know what's stopping you, how about we just do it? And I watched that big old tough man bow his head and trust Jesus as his Savior. And boy, what a difference God made in his life. Is he perfect yet? No, he's still sucking air and he's still a sinner like you and me. But bless the Lord, he's saved. I had to save him with fear, though. You see, you have to face the bad news to get to the good news. When you go to the hospital and you got cancer, they don't dance around the issue. When you go to the hospital and got five of your arteries at your heart and three of them are about to explode, they don't tell you, well, everything's going to be all right eventually. I had one doctor thought that, no, he couldn't operate it today or tomorrow. You go find out. But wait a minute. It wasn't good news, but guess what? Getting through the bad news, we got to the good news. He came out just fine. Sometimes you have to face the bad news to get to the good stuff. Everybody doing all right? Same is true with truth. You have to face the bad news that you're a sinner bound for hell and that you need a Savior before you can trust that Savior to get you to heaven. But once you do, everything's all right. I promise you. I don't know about you, but I want to make a difference. Brother Mike, I'm not much. But I've seen tens of thousands of people get saved. Someday when I get to heaven, there's going to be tens of thousands of people there that I got to see get saved. And you can say what you want, but I've trained people. Only God knows how many people will be in heaven because one day I decided I'm trying to make a difference. I got a text this week. An email. Got an email from somebody that listened to last Sunday night's sermon, who shared it with his pastor and his brother, who's an assistant pastor. And I found out he'd been listening to my sermons every week for 3 years. Can I tell you something? We have no idea who we're helping. Nobody. I've got folks I've won to Christ. My wife and I have won to Christ that are missionaries in Belize. I've got folks I've trained all over this world that are pastors, assistant pastors, missionaries all over the world. Decided one day I'd like my life to make a difference. Let me ask you a question. If God could use me to make a difference, don't you think he could use you? Would you like to make a difference? Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I know 100% sure, I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Would you raise your hand? You've trusted Jesus as your Savior. God bless you. Who'd say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure, but I'd like to know. I've never trusted Christ. Would you raise your hand? All right. Maybe you've been saved and you've never been baptized. We can take care of that today. You ought to begin making a difference. Maybe you've been saved and baptized, never joined the church. We'd love to have you come join the church. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon, something I needed today, I'd like to make a difference. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Most every hand. You may put them down. In a moment, the piano will begin to play. When it begins to play, let's stand to our feet. If you've never been saved, you come. If you've been saved and never baptized, you come. We can take care of it. If you just need to use an old-fashioned altar, kneel here, stand here and pray, you come.